So prior to the crash of the stock market and the Great Depression in the late 20s, early 1930s, the Roaring 20s was an age of economic growth. It was an age of prosperity. There was rapid development in things like vehicles and telephones and movies. Radio was coming into play during the Roaring 20s. Things like jazz and also music and its advancement. Aviation was on the rise, literally. It was the rise of movie stars and sports stars. Also the rise of sports teams and sports franchises. And I remember like it was yesterday. Actually, 1 year ago today, I stood up here on this stage at 10:45, and I said something to the effect of, "Welcome to the start of a new decade. Welcome to our Roaring 20s. We have no clue what this decade holds for us." And we were excited about a new decade. And all of a sudden, we started hearing about this thing called the coronavirus. And we thought to ourselves, oh, there's no way that thing's going to reach us. I mean, we live in such an isolated part of the world. You know, we're in a really rural area, and there's no way that thing is going to reach us. And all of a sudden in March, what are we doing? We're closing our doors. This thing is starting to enter into our area, into our state. We had to shut down for a while, and COVID-19, it came about in this decade that we thought was going to be something different. And all of a sudden, people start losing their lives. People start getting very sick. This virus has affected, of course, us as a church. It's affected many of you. It's affected your family members, your friends, your acquaintances. It's affected your situation. It's affected your life as well. We've had the loss of life, the loss of jobs. All of a sudden, our schools had to go towards this thing called distance learning. And all of our teachers are teaching from a computer screen. All of a sudden, myself and Tyson, we become televangelists and we're speaking to computer screens. And we had to make changes in many areas in our church as well. Life really was put on hold in 2020, and in a sense, it's still put on hold for us as we are navigating really a new world, a strange new world. 2020 was the year of COVID-19, and we're hoping and we're praying that this thing is, as one of our dear elders prayed this morning, that it's going to be just a recent bad memory. We're praying for that, but also 2020 held more things in store for us as well. It seemed like 2020 was the year of the protests. It seems like we were protesting everything in 2020. We felt the sting of racism in 2020. We also experienced some just political chaos, some political mayhem as well. And now here we are, 1 year later. Here we are in 2021, and we're all, of course, asking ourselves this question: what is 2021 going to be like? What is 2021 going to bring us? Is it going to be a good year? Is it going to be another tough year? Is it going to be a year of healing? Is it going to be another year of just a little bit of turmoil and unrest? Is it going to be a year of rest for us? Is it going to be a year of recovery for us? Is it going to be a year of prosperity? And unfortunately, we do not know. We do not know what tomorrow holds. The Bible actually tells us this over and over. Proverbs 27 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." You see, we do not know what 2021 is going to bring us. We do not know what the years beyond are going to bring us. But there are some things that we do know as followers of Christ. As 2021 really is unsure for us, as the years beyond 2021 are unsure for us, there are many promises that followers of Christ do know. We do know this. We do know that Christ is still on his throne. We do know that Jesus Christ is in complete control of everything that's going on. We do know that there is nothing or no one above Jesus Christ. We do know that Jesus Christ has complete power. We do know that Jesus Christ has complete authority over all. We do know that Jesus Christ is for his children. He is for you. We do know that Jesus Christ is going to build his church, that his purposes will prevail. We do know that Jesus Christ will never, ever leave you. We do know that Jesus Christ will never, ever forsake you. We do know that the Son of God will fight for you. He will fight for his children. We do know that the Son of God will provide for your every need. And we do know that the Son of God is preparing a home for his people. We do know these things for sure. And we do know this, that one day, very, very soon, that Jesus Christ is going to return for his church. Again, there are many things that we do not know, but there, at the same time, are many things that we do know and many promises that we do hold on to as followers of Jesus Christ. And one day, he is going to return for his church. Luke 12 tells us, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks." Verse 37, it says, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The very last words of Christ that we have recorded in the book of Revelation tell us this. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming soon," to which John responded, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Again, even though we have no clue what 2021 and beyond holds, we do know that for sure that Jesus Christ is going to return for his church. And we hold on to these amazing promises in the Word of God. So knowing these promises, knowing these great promises in the Word of God that we just spoke about a few moments ago, knowing that Christ could return and rapture his church at any moment, what should we be focusing on in 2021 and also in the years beyond? And today, what I want us to do to kick off this new year, 2021, is I want to stop this day and I want to remind us here at Lake Center Baptist Church of our mission, of our vision, and of our values. Of our mission, our vision, and our values. And starting next week, we are going to jump back into the book of 1 Peter. We were in the book of 1 Peter really in the fall up until November, took a break in December. And we're going to start back into 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22 next week. But today, let's look at our mission, vision, and values as a church. Right before Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, and you know this verse, Matthew chapter 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And as this great commission was given to the disciples, ultimately it was given to you and I as followers of Christ today. And this is where we get our mission as a church. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Here is our mission at Lake Center Baptist Church. If you want to know what we should be about and what we are about at this church, it is this, and it comes from Matthew 28. Lake Center Baptist Church exists to glorify God by introducing all peoples to Jesus Christ and growing them up to love and to worship Him. I'm going to read that again. Lake Center Baptist Church exists to glorify God by introducing all peoples to Jesus Christ and growing them up to love and worship Him. And this mission, it includes you and I. We are a part of this mission, growing up to love Jesus Christ and to worship Him. That includes you and I, growing up into that and growing into the things of God. And at the same time as this mission includes you and I, it also includes those who are out there, those who have not yet received the gospel, who hopefully and prayerfully will one day receive the gospel and to come into a place like this and to as well grow in their walk with Christ too. So this mission, it's why we are here. It's why we exist. And this mission is what we must be about as we are waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. So let's ask and answer this question this morning based on this mission, on this great commission that Christ has given us, that Christ has given the church. How can we accomplish our mission to glorify God by introducing all peoples to Jesus Christ and growing them up to love and worship Him? You can write this down. We ourselves must value worship. We ourselves must value worship. And our value for worship reads like this. We will love and worship God. Therefore, we will gather corporately each week and love and worship God every day of our lives. You see, corporate worship is a common theme all throughout the Word of God. Corporate worship is the gathered people of God coming together and singing the praises of God. Corporate worship is the gathered people of God coming together and studying the Word of God. Corporate worship is the gathered people of God coming together and practicing the ordinances that were given by Jesus Christ to the church, the ordinances of baptism and the ordinances of the Lord's Supper. You see, worship, corporate worship, is a common theme all throughout the Word of God. And worship is the greatest command in the Bible. It's the greatest command in the Word, Deuteronomy 6. And Jesus, He Himself quoted this verse as the greatest commandment. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." The worship of God, we see, is the greatest command for followers of Christ in the Word of God. And worship is why God saved you and I. He gave us new life and called us out of darkness into His marvelous light that we might proclaim His excellencies, that we might too worship Him. It's why God saved you and I. Isaiah 43, "The people whom I formed for myself that they might declare my praise." Again, worship is why God saved us. He called us and gave us new life and breathed new life into you and I that we too might worship His holy and incredible and beautiful name. Corporate worship is what we will be doing forever and ever in eternity. Look at this incredible picture of corporate worship. And if you are in Christ today, if you have trusted in His name for salvation, for the forgiveness of your sin, this verse includes you and I. "After this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." And notice what we will be doing in heaven and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." So we see this picture of this great and incredible corporate worship service that is going on in heaven. People from every single language and tribe, tongue, and nation gathered together before the throne of God, singing the praises of God, worship is the greatest command in the Bible. It's why God saved you and I. It's something that we will be doing forever and ever in all of eternity. And corporate worship is a clear command of Scripture. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. How? By not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see, each one of us, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility whenever we come to corporately worship God. We have this responsibility to stir up one another to love and good works. We have this responsibility to encourage one another to live for Christ. That's what happens whenever we come into a place like this to worship corporately. Whenever I see my brother and my sister in Christ giving worship to God and giving praises to God, what does that do? That encourages my heart. That stirs up my heart to continue to live for Christ and to live for the glory of Christ. We have this opportunity in corporate worship to encourage one another to continue to live for Christ. We have this opportunity to receive encouragement from others to live a life that is honoring to Christ as well. We have this responsibility in corporate worship. We're also called to worship God. Even if 2021 does not go as planned. Now again, we're hoping and we're praying that things can get back to normal and people start to feel safe about coming back around others and things like that. We're hoping and praying that. But we are called to worship. Even if 2021 does not go as planned. Habakkuk 3. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fell, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and yet there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. In other words, if all else fades, if everything in my life goes a different direction than what I think it should go, this prophet is saying, let's continue to worship God, no matter what. So how can we accomplish this great mission to glorify God? By introducing all peoples to Jesus Christ and growing them up to love and worship Him. We, as the people of God, must be about worship. Next, how can we accomplish this great mission to glorify God? By introducing all peoples to Jesus Christ and growing them up to love and worship Him. We must be about evangelism. We must be about evangelism. And our value for evangelism reads like this. We will reach people with the gospel. Therefore, we will spread the message of Jesus Christ verbally and by the way we live our daily lives. You see, church family, there are people all around us who are spiritually lost and going to hell. And I understand that hell is not something that we like to talk about. But if we as a church are going to preach and talk about the entire counsel of the Word of God, we have to say this, that hell is a very real place. It's not just something that we make up to scare people or anything like that. It's not some figment of our imagination. The Bible says that hell is a very real place. And if anyone does not have the Son of God and they have not placed their faith and their hope and their trust in the Son of God, the Bible makes it very clear that their eternity is hell. There are people all around us who are living in spiritual darkness. There are people all around us who have been blinded by the enemy. And the people of God, they are a sent people. You and I, we are a sent people to these people who are all around us who are spiritually lost and going to hell. We are a sent people to these people all around us who are living in spiritual darkness. We are a sent people to all the people who are around us who have been blinded by the enemy. The people of God are a sent people to the world. Matthew 28 again. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Tell people about Jesus. Invite people to come and to worship the Son of God. John 4, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. What Jesus is saying here is this, is that there are people that are all around us who need the gospel, who are waiting to hear the gospel, who are ripe for harvest through one simple invitation. They will hear and have their lives transformed. There are people everywhere who are waiting to hear the gospel. Romans 10, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Guess what? You and I are sent every single day. You are sent on a mission. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And you might say to yourself, well, thank goodness I'm not a preacher. Please understand that this is not talking about a preacher. This is talking about followers of Christ who are called to herald the name of Jesus Christ. We're all called to this, not just myself, not just Devin, not just Tyson, not just the elders of our church and the deacons. We are all called, we are all sent to the world to evangelize the lost. 1 Peter 3, we read this verse back in November, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And this word hope that Peter's talking about, he's not saying that you have to be skilled in apologetics or have the Bible memorized. What he's talking about is this: be prepared to talk about with somebody else how Jesus Christ has transformed your life. That's what he's talking about. This is what Jesus Christ has done for me. Once I was living in darkness, now I'm living in light. Once I was headed towards hell, now I'm headed towards heaven because of the hope of Christ. He's given me new life. He's changed my life. That's what Peter's talking about. He says, be prepared to talk about the hope that you now have. I was thinking about this past week. If you're in this place today and you have Christ and you have confessed Christ as Lord and you have the hope of eternal life, why is that? Well, of course, number one, it's because Christ saved you, but ultimately as well, it's because someone told you about the gospel, or someone invited you to hear the gospel message, or someone opened up their Bible and they shared the gospel with you. We all have a story. We all have a testimony about how we came to Christ, whether that's through a friend or through a grandparent or a parent or through vacation Bible school or through church or through church camp. We all have a story of how we came to Christ. And as followers of Christ, we are called to continue that story for other people. How can we do evangelism? I just want to remind us here today as a church, and I understand that a lot of times walking up to someone and just blindly sharing your faith with them, that can be sometimes a very scary thing to do. I don't do too well with that myself. But I want to remind us today as to the power of an invitation. The power of an invitation. You see, when you invite someone maybe to hear your story, or you invite someone maybe to come and to worship with you, or to check our church out online, whenever you cast an invitation to somebody else, an invitation lets someone know what you are about. The moment that you cast that invitation, hey, come to worship with me. Watch our church online. Come hear my story. An invitation lets them know that you are a believer, that you are a follower of Christ, that you have something different in your life. It lets them know that you're a believer, that you're a follower of Jesus. An invitation has the opportunity to open up a spiritual conversation. I can't tell you how many times I have invited someone to come and worship, and they've asked me questions. Well, what's your church like? What do you believe? Why do you believe that? An invitation has the opportunity to open up a spiritual conversation. An invitation and a conversation can get that person to thinking about their eternity. Be reminded today, church family, as to the power of an invitation. I would encourage every single one of us in this place. We have these invite cards that are all over our church. We printed 500 to 1,000 of these things. They're very, very nice and simple and slick. Take 12 of these this year. Take 12 of them and make it your goal. Maybe once a month, or take 52 of them. I don't care. Maybe make it your goal once a week that you're going to invite someone. Maybe it's someone that you see every single day in your neighborhood or your school or your workplace. I don't know. You fill in the blank, but we never know how a simple invitation can radically change someone's life. And we all have stories of how an invitation changed our life as well. I want to remind us of this, church family. When it comes to this idea of evangelism, that you and I are plan A. Can I say that again? You and I are plan A to see these seats full of people who are lost. There is no other plan. There is no other plan. The moment Christ comes to dwell inside of our hearts, we are then ambassadors for Christ, sent on a mission to reach people with the gospel every single day of our lives. There is no other plan. It's you and I. If we want to see people come to Christ and see our families and our neighborhoods and our world change, it starts with us reaching one and reaching another and reaching another. We are the plan, church family. How can we accomplish this mission? This mission of Matthew 28, we have to be a people of evangelism. Yes, I get it. It's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's awkward, but it's what we're called to. Next, how can we accomplish this mission, this great mission? We must be about ministry. We must be about ministry. And our value for ministry reads like this. We will serve the purposes of God. Therefore, we will serve in ministry inside the walls of the church and outside the walls of the church. As the people of God are a worshiping people, as they are an evangelistic people, the people of God are a serving people. The people of God are called to die to themselves. The people of God are called to take on the role of a servant. I saw this quote a couple days ago, and it floored me. It shook me to my core. It convicted me. Someone said this, I don't know even who said it, but someone said this, everyone in the Christian community wants to be called a servant, but no one wants to be treated like one. I'm going to say that again. Everyone in the Christian community wants to be called a servant, but no one wants to be treated like one. You see, the people of God are called to die to themselves. The people of God are called to take on the role of a servant. And Jesus Christ was the perfect example of this. Even though he was the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, he allowed himself to be treated like a slave, like a servant. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the perfect example of service. And as Jesus Christ served, he calls his people to serve as well. Right before he's getting ready to die on the cross, he takes a towel and he girds himself with it, and he goes around and he washes his disciples' feet. And he says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. What's this mean? Take on the role of a servant. Take on the role of a slave. You see, serving the purposes of God is something we're called to do now. And we're going to serve God's purposes forever in heaven. Did you know that? This is why we start serving him now, because we will serve him for eternity. Revelation 22 tells us this, there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. We will serve God forever and ever in eternity. You see, church family, the church is the bride of Christ. And the people of God are all called to serve his bride. Let me remind you that it's a joy to serve. It's more blessed to give of ourselves than to receive. It's a blessing to serve. Serving the purposes of God lasts for all of eternity. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, therefore, My beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What's that? That's ministry, that's serving, knowing that the that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Whenever you serve the purposes of God, it lasts for all of eternity. So here's the question that I'm asking you, and I'm asking myself today, and even those of you who are watching online, who will be joining us hopefully and prayerfully soon, how are you serving? How are you serving in your home, in your workplace, in your everyday life? And also, how are you serving this local body of Christ? How are you serving it? Today, this very day, we need help. We need help in nursery. We need help in children's church. Our tech teams who run these things every single week, they need help. We need help in our sound booth, in our live stream room. Any place you feel called to serve that I didn't mention, we'll make up a place for you. God has given you gifts and abilities and spiritual gifts to be used to serve His body, to be used to serve His bride. How are you serving? How are you doing ministry? The people of God are a giving and serving and a dying to themselves people. That's what they do. How can we accomplish this great mission? It's to serve. It's to die to ourselves. Next, how can we accomplish this great mission to glorify God? By fellowship. By fellowship, and our value for fellowship reads like this. We will do life together. We will do life together. Therefore, we will be involved in smaller groups that meet regularly. Can I just remind you, church family, that we need each other? I need you, you need me, my family needs you. We need each other in this day and age. We see this great example of fellowship in the book of Acts chapter 2, when they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. What are they doing? They're worshiping together. They're doing life together. They're providing for each other. They receive their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And look at the result of their godly and biblical fellowship. It says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And at the same time as they were having this biblical fellowship in the book of Acts, we are called to this same type of fellowship today. We need each other. And 2020 proved that we need each other. We need each other to do life with each other. So here is a very practical way to answer this question. How can we do fellowship here at Lake Center Baptist Church? And here is a very practical way. Here's a very practical way for us to do fellowship here at this church. It's by this. It's by joining a Sunday school class. A very practical way for us to do these things that we're talking about. What happens whenever you join a Sunday school class? Well, you do life together. You come together and you laugh together. You cry together. You study the Word of God together. You might eat together. You can pray for each other. You can serve each other and help each other as you hear about each other's needs. You can encourage your brother or sister in Christ. You can give yourself to others. You can be encouraged by your brother or sister. So if you're in this place today, or you are either watching online and hopefully and prayerfully you're coming back soon, would you consider joining and being devoted to a smaller group of people in a Sunday school class? And you might say today, well, Caleb, there's not one here that I like. Well, then you start one and you lead that class. How cool would it be if every person in our church is involved in a group that's smaller, that is doing this idea of biblical fellowship together? How can we accomplish our mission to glorify God? Well, we have to do life together because we need each other and we encourage each other in our faith. You need me, I need you, we need each other. Next, how can we accomplish this great mission? By discipleship. By discipleship. We will grow in the things of God. Therefore, we will relentlessly devote ourselves to learn and live out the Word of God. You see, followers of Christ are called to grow in discipleship. We are not called to remain stagnant in our faith. We are called to go on to maturity, as the Bible talks about, in our faith. So it begs this question, how can I do this? How can I grow in discipleship as I am waiting on the return of Christ, not knowing what 2021 holds for me? How can I grow in discipleship? Well, it's some of the things that we've already talked about. By attending corporate worship, by making the worship of God our number one priority, and hearing the Word of God preached in its entirety, in its full counsel, by the worship of God, we can grow in discipleship. By helping someone else grow in their discipleship, we can grow in discipleship. By joining a Sunday school class and studying the Word of God with a smaller group of people and discussing it, we can grow in discipleship. By reading the Word of God at home. Just this past week, I had Natasha set out our SOAP guides. SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. It's a very simple way to study the Word of God. But these are out there in our foyer. What this does is it gives you a daily Bible reading. I have been doing this daily Bible reading year in and year out for the past probably 15 years of my life. And I've had the privilege and the honor of being able to go to school and seminary and things like that. Let me just tell you that doing a daily Bible reading has blessed my walk with Christ more than anything else. There's no comparison. Reading the Word of God every single day. Now, are there times I miss? Absolutely. I am a human being. But whenever I'm able to get to this thing and to dive into the Word of God and to read a chapter or two chapters and to allow some of those scriptures just to soak into my heart. And what I do along with that is I take a journal. I've been doing this for about 15 years. And I put a scripture that I read as a part of that daily Bible reading at the top of my journal. And I simply write about that scripture. What's that doing? It's getting into my mind. It's getting into my heart. It allows me to remember what I read. It allows me to remember what I wrote. And doing these simple two little things have helped my walk with Christ greater than anything else. Am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. Have I arrived at it? Absolutely not. But I know it's the greatest thing for me. How can we grow in discipleship? By reading the Word of God. By reading the Word of God at home. How cool would it be if every single one of us this year took one of these guides and we read the Bible together throughout the year, and we spoke about the things that we were reading, and we spoke about the things that we were learning week in and week out. You see, we are all called to grow in our discipleship. And lastly, how can we accomplish this great mission that we are called to? Prayer. Prayer. We will desperately depend on God. Therefore, we will be a people who pray for the glory and guidance of God in everything we do. Jesus Christ reminds us that without Him, we are nothing. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Jesus says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And whenever we are praying, what we are telling Jesus is, Jesus, I am depending on you for everything. Paul says, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5. John Piper says, prayer is the open admission that without Christ we can do nothing. Charles Spurgeon said, the power of prayer can never be overstated. If a man can pray, but pray, he can do anything. D.L. Moody said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Would you be that kneeling figure today, church family? Would you be that kneeling figure again? The people of God are a people of prayer. Let's be reminded today, church family, that God can do anything. Paul said, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May we be a people who would pray for revival. This year in 2021, may we be a people who would pray for the revival of our nation and for our world and for our community and for our county, for all the people who are lost and dying and going to hell that are around us. May we be a people who would pray for the advancement of God's kingdom and his purposes. May we be a people who would pray that God would use his church for his glory as we are awaiting his return or to meet him in death. We'd be a people who would pray that God would use us to be a light in the darkness. May we be a people who would pray that God would use us to see people's lives changed. Again, the people of God are a praying people. So here are three questions that I want us to close with in closing. And I want you to answer these questions to yourself. If you're watching online with us this morning, would you answer these questions to yourself? And you can write them down. The first one is this. Knowing the promises of God and knowing that I can meet him at any moment, knowing that my hope is secure in Christ by trusting in him for salvation alone. The first question is this. How am I going to grow in 2021? Maybe you write some thoughts down to the side of that question, if you'd like, or put them in your phone or whatever. How do I need to grow in 2021? Maybe I'm going to grow by serving. I'm going to find my ministry position. Maybe I'm going to grow by joining that Sunday school class and being devoted to a smaller group of people. Maybe I'm going to grow by starting to study the Word of God and reading through Scripture for the very first time. Maybe I'm going to grow by praying and having a regular prayer life. Maybe starting a prayer life or a journal. Maybe I need to grow by praying for the church and its mission. I don't know the answer for you, but how do I need to grow in 2021? Write down a thought or two. God calls us to this as followers of Christ. He calls us to grow in discipleship. Next, how am I going to go in 2021? How am I going to go in 2021? You see, God calls us to evangelism. Would you be willing to take 2 or 3 or 5 or 12 or 52 of these cards and go to a neighbor? Go to a coworker? Go to a friend? Go to a family member and invite them to come and worship with you? Maybe go to them and or go to God in prayer for them on a daily basis until you see God moving and working in their lives and then continuing to pray for them. Maybe God's calling you to go with us to Panama. Lord willing, hopefully and prayerfully, the country continues to do well and it opens up fully. We're planning on going back to Panama in 2021. Let me just tell you, God's called us to the nations. That's a very simple trip for us. I've taken it a couple times. It's an amazing trip. I would encourage you to put that date on your calendar. It's sometime in November, and plan on going with us to Panama. It's a great way. It's a great introduction to international missions. How has God called you to grow in 2021? How has God called you to go in 2021? And lastly, how am I going to give in 2021? How am I going to give in 2021? Again, the people of God are a giving people. We give of ourselves, we give of our lives, we give of ourselves by serving, we also give of ourselves financially. A couple of weeks ago, at the beginning of December, we approved our yearly budget, which is around $360,000, something like that. Are you giving towards that budget? Are you giving a monthly or a weekly or a biweekly tithe, 10% of your income, as the Bible calls us to do this? Malachi 3, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. My wife and I, we've been married for 17 years, and we've been tithing for 17 years. And let me just tell you, God has blessed our life. I'm not saying that we're rich. I'm not saying that we've prospered, anything like that. But I have found from us tithing and from us giving that this scripture rings true. It's ring true in our life. God has blessed us beyond tithe. Would you give above your tithe and help us pay off this wonderful facility? The original loan on this facility was around $850-something thousand, and we've knocked that down over $500,000. We have about $330,000 left on this facility. We pay about $1,300 to $1,400 a month in interest, and anything that we can get towards that and even above that interest goes towards principal, and we want to knock this payment completely out. If you're not giving to the payoff of this building, would you consider giving something towards it? Something. Every little bit helps that goes towards the payoff of this wonderful facility that God has blessed us with. How cool would it be if in the next couple of years we could knock the debt down on this facility that God has given us? So here's the questions that we must ask as we are awaiting the return of Christ, knowing that our hope is secure in Christ and He has called us to more. How am I going to grow in 2021? How am I going to go in 2021? How am I going to give in 2021? And lastly, closing, let's answer this question. Why? Why are the people of God so different? Why do we do things like this? Because what we're talking about today, it's a lot. But the people of God are called to more. Let's be reminded that why, as to why we do these types of things. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We don't do these things to earn salvation. Salvation is by placing our faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And our salvation is secure in Him. But once we are saved, we do these things because of what Christ has done for us. Be reminded that we were once dead in our sin, but we have been made alive by Christ. And because of Christ's finished work on the cross, we have the hope of eternal life in heaven. Therefore, we are waiting on His return. Our hope is secure in Him. And the world needs the hope that you and I have. That's why we do these things. Because one day very soon, we will all enter into eternity. And I love that poem by C.T. Studd. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Maybe you're here this morning, or you're watching online, and you don't have that hope. You don't have that hope that if you were to pass away today, that you would go to heaven to be with God. Can I just tell you today quickly as to how you can have that hope? The Bible says this, that we have all sinned. That means that we've all made mistakes, and the Bible says that our sin, even one sin, makes us fall short of the glory of God. One sin causes us to be essentially spiritually dead. And the only way that we can have life, the only way that we can have the hope of eternal life is through Jesus Christ. You remember that story that you've maybe heard about at Easter, where Jesus Christ came and He lived a perfect life and He died on a cross and He was placed in a grave and 3 days later He rose from the grave. That's what we put our trust in and our faith in and our hope in, is that work, that finished work on the cross that Jesus Christ paid for you and I. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says that you have to come to this realization that you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior. And you place your faith in Him. You can maybe pray a prayer like this: God, I understand that I'm a sinner. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I confess that He is Lord, and I commit my life to follow Him from this point forward. And the Bible says that if you meant that from the depths of your heart, that you are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That you're saved and that you too have the hope of eternal life. But there is a next step for you, and that next step is believer's baptism. Maybe you've seen that. Maybe you've heard about that. That's where you come into the waters and you identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and you proclaim to the world that you are a follower of Christ. If you were saved today or recently, and you've never been scripturally baptized, would you talk to me about that and we can make that happen for you? God, we love You. Even though we don't know what 2021 holds, we know that You hold 2021. You hold today, You hold tomorrow, You hold this next month, You hold it all in the palm of Your hand, and Jesus Christ, You are above it. Therefore, knowing that You are above 2021, Jesus, we hold on to You. Jesus, we follow You. Jesus, we serve You. Jesus, we worship You. Jesus, we tell others about You. Jesus, You are the only thing. You are the only one that is sure. As the world is unsure, Jesus, You are sure. Therefore, Jesus, we hold on to You and walk with You. So, Jesus, we just ask and pray that You would use us for your kingdom and for your glory this year and every year until you return or until we meet you in death. God, encourage our hearts this year. Help us to know that you're with us. For my brother or sister that's sitting out there today that's discouraged by things that are going on in their life or their home or their workplace or whatever it is, God, would you just encourage them today? Would you remind them that Jesus has all authority, that he is above their situation, that he is good, and they can trust him. He has it all figured out. We surrender our lives to you. We worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet? We're just going to sing this song of worship and surrender back to our God and just dedicate these words to our Lord this year.